This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great first couple of hours. We went all over the Odell Beckham Jr. free agency tour ourselves, or at least two-thirds of it, with Sean McDermott, head coach of the Buffalo Bills, and CeeDee Lamb of the Dallas Cowboys on the program. Warren Sapp joined us in hour number one. And admitted he left the game last night when it was 16-3 New Orleans. That's when I texted him to have him come on so he could, you know, discuss what looked like another disappointing Bucks loss to the Saints. Instead, Tom Brady did his usual, and Warren admitted he left the game.
Can't do that.
If you missed any of it, we re-air right here on the Roku channel, channel 210, as soon as this hour is over. And there's our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. I just saw, had a very nice chat back in our green room with one of the stars of Tulsa King, Andrea Savage. We had Sly Stallone on a couple weeks ago on a Zoom. Andrea is here in person, and it will be all kinds of delightful. We saw earlier on the program, Morocco dispatched Spain in the knockout round on penalty kicks. And now Switzerland is taking on Portugal, which has benched Ronaldo, even though Ronaldo most likely had his eyebrows done just for the occasion. And that's our soccer breakdown in 3-2. Joining us now on the program, though, is one of my favorites. I've gotten to know him, adore him as well, and couldn't be more excited for him. He's the new head coach of UAB football, and the Blazers are taking on Miami of Ohio in the Bahamas Bowl in a couple weeks. And joining on the us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is new head coach of Blazers football, Trent Dilfer. And Trent, we all want to spend a week in Bahamas, but this is a pretty radical way for you to get that week, don't you think, Trent? Right,
Rich. Thanks for having me, man. Yeah, this has been a whirlwind. I was coaching high school football state championship last Thursday, and now I'm on the road recruiting in Mobile, Alabama. It's been crazy.
Life is amazing. So why take this opportunity, Trent? What do you got for me?
Well, without giving you that long-winded Dilfer answer, I was with my wife about nine weeks ago, and I had all these ADs and presidents reach out to me, and they had the last couple years, and I looked at her and I said, you know what? I'm at peace. We have our grandson, just had a grandson. He's 5 months old. They live in Nashville. I love the boys, what we've built. We built one of the top 10 football programs in the country at Lipscomb Academy, coming out of the dust when they were the 3,000th ranked team, I think, when I took it over. And I was just like, you know, let's do this. Let's do this for 10 more years, and then we'll be grandparents and live at the lake. And she goes, you know what? Sounds really nice, except you were made for more than this. And it kind of shocked me. And she's like, you know what? I'm ready. We're empty nesters. We'll make this work. What you do is different. You know, you raise young men. You make them better people. You have a great staff. You love your coaches. And, you know, these kids are going to play great football because what you pour into their lives, just go do it another level. And it kind of got me thinking. And right about that time, UAB really started pursuing me hard. Mark Ingram is an awesome AD. President Watts cares about excellence. Those were two things that I really was looking for if I ever made the move. And then a donor base that approved their worth. You know, this is a place that didn't have football. And Bill Clark and the donor base brought it back out of the dust and built a really nice program. And the donor base was part of that. So it just kind of started going down that road. Tried to keep it from my team and my community because I didn't want any distractions. It got leaked. Our kids handled it. Amazing, most dominant state championship performance in the history of Tennessee, Middle Tennessee football. And now we're just rolling. Now I'm doing what college football is about. Recruiting is everything. It is everything with capital D. And I got the juice for it, and I'm hitting schools and meeting coaches and establishing relationships. And, you know, we're going to build a roster at UAB that has a bunch of NFL dudes on it.
Well, in terms of that, too, you know, you kind of mentioned the UAB history here where they, you know, came up with a report and how to save money, and they followed the report saying cancel football. And for 2 years, there was no football, and football's back, and you referred to that. And the other aspect of it, you know, not to tell any tales at school, is, you know, University of Alabama, Birmingham. There's a University of Alabama, Tuscaloosa. A lot of people think the powers that be in that state tip the scales in that direction. Obviously, Nick has his own way to tip his own scales. But how do you deal with that when you're in? How do you tell people, let's come here? Don't go to Tuscaloosa. How do you do that?
So one, I've had no experience with that, and I mean that. And that was definitely something that I had mentors tell me to ask about.
Right.
The Board of Trustees has been nothing but incredible to the University of Alabama Birmingham. The Nick Saban piece is really interesting, too. I've known Nick a long time. I have a great relationship with Nick. You know, Nick entrusted me with Tua during his training for the draft and coming off the injury. I was in constant contact with him. Nick was one of the first people that called me when I got this job. Nick Saban, people can think whatever they want about him, but that guy has nothing but class and is a king maker. You know, he doesn't just hide assets and try to do it for himself. He wants other people to be successful. So Nick's been great to me. Listen, we know who the grand poopah is in the state of Alabama, right? But there are a lot of great football players in the state of Alabama, and there are a lot of great high school football coaches. And we plan on going and meeting them all and finding the ones that are going to make UAB a power. The college football playoff expands. We plan on being there. And I will yell that from the rooftops that we have two objectives right now in terms of the football build-out. Now, human development is the number one thing. But from the football development, it is get to the college football playoff in 2 years and have a bunch of scouts at our practices saying, "Those you got 10, you got 12, you got 14, you got 16 NFL prospects. We're going to build this on players that have NFL traits, NFL intangibles, and can play the game at the highest level."
Brother, I mean, football journeys are amazing. Yours is in particular as well. If I had told you that time where you showed up, you know, you're still playing, you're trying to figure out you want a job in television or not or whatever. If I told you, you know, not only would you have a successful career in television, but you'd get into coaching and you'd be a college football coach as well as a championship high school football coach, you'd have said what to me on that night?
You're crazy.
Right.
Like, I ran from coaching. I got offered management jobs out of the league. I got offered NFL position jobs. I've been offered coordinator jobs. I've offered head coaching. Like, I grew up the son of a coach. I saw what this profession can do to families, especially families with daughters. What really got me thinking, having the three girls, was two things. Clyde Christensen. So Clyde Christensen is my football hero. Like, of all my 42-year-old football life, my number one football hero is Clyde Christensen. Coached, obviously, me in Tampa, but he coached Peyton in Indianapolis. Peyton raves about him. He's coaching Tom right now. Clyde Christensen is one of the few that did it right. He is an incredible husband, an incredible father to daughters. He has changed, helped shape the lives of so many men that we're playing professional football, but they'll all say, "Yeah, he made me a better player, but he made me a better man." He's turned down multiple coordinator and head jobs so he can invest in relationships with his quarterbacks in the quarterback room. He just did it right. So I thought about him. And then my daughters, I was an empty nester. You know, and that's something my wife said. She was like, "You know, we don't have them anymore. It's just me and you and the dogs. Like, let's go." And, you know, her Jews were 50 years old. Now she looks like she's 32, but I look like I'm 60. But we're 50 years old, and we got juice. I mean, I'm sitting here. I'm fired up. I'm getting ready to walk into a field house here with a hand with you. I'm going to go in there tingly. I'm a fire breather. Like, let's go. I want to meet you, coach. I want to establish a relationship with you. I want to talk to your players. I want to find the best ones. I'm making good men. I'm making a great, not a good, a great football player. I mean, I'm getting fired up just talking to
him.
I mean, this kind of juice since I was doing Dilfer's Dimes on Monday night. Yeah. When I jump out of my seat, I had fire coming out of my mouth. And that's how I feel, and that's what this program's going to be built on, is this type of juice and energy.
Yeah, I feel the same way just listening to you, Trent Dilfer, UAB Blazers' new head football coach here on the Rich Eisen Show. I know you've got a lot going on, and you're on the trail recruiting and meeting and making relationships, but did you catch Monday Night Football last night, Brady?
I did. Listen, I didn't, and I heard the lead-in as I was waiting to talk to you.
Yeah.
I forgot it was Tuesday. let me tell you, listen, I'm going to do this in 36 seconds.
Sure.
State championship game Thursday morning. We dominate. I go celebrate with my team, have a cheeseburger, jump in the car in Chattanooga, Tennessee, drive to Birmingham, call every high school football coach I have the phone number on in the state of Alabama, congratulate the state championship winners. Wake up Friday morning at 6 a.m. I'm in the war room. I'm watching our roster. I'm breaking down our roster. I'm grading our roster. Boom, recruits, we got to set the board. We're setting the board. I'm calling prospects. I'm establishing relationships with coaches. I do that. I don't go to bed. I get up. I don't even get up. I change clothes. Don't even shower. Sunday morning, back to Nashville. Got my high school banquet. Compliance allowed me to finish my banquet because it was a previously scheduled event. You know, those are my boys. That's my community. Nail that. Monday morning, I'm UAB's head football coach. I'm recruiting Nashville. I drive from Nashville to Mobile, 7 hours. Get 4 hours of sleep, wake up this morning, and we're crushing high school recruiting in Mobile, one of the richest, talented places in the country. That's what I'm about these days, baby. I don't have time for the NFL anymore.
Well, yeah. Stop me if you've heard this one before, Trent Dilfer. The Saints were pulling a number on the Bucs and Tom Brady and the offense. They show Brady on the sideline holding a tablet, screaming things that you can't, if you read lips, say on television. And then at the last second, Brady put together two game-winning drives, including the latest touchdown pass to win a game he's ever had in his career to surpass Peyton Manning for most fourth-quarter comebacks in the history of the game. Stop me if you've heard that story before.
Not shocked one bit. In fact, I was talking to a prospect today in Florida. I said, man, you weren't even born when I was playing for the Bucs, but this is all you need to know. Tom Brady's wearing my jersey. That's all I want you to think about. If Tom Brady's wearing my jersey, I let him wear number 12.
Good for you. Good for you.
And I said, that's all you need to think about, son. You just think about that and think about being a Blazer, and we're good.
I love that. What a great recruiting line. Tom Brady's wearing my jersey. I let him do it. Fantastic.
I got a better one for you. We're cleaning out my office Sunday. I got the Lombardi in my office up at Lipscomb Academy. I don't have anywhere to put it, so I throw it in the back of my truck.
Come on.
So it's in the back of my truck. I'm driving my truck. I'm in Mobile. I'm meeting with this coach this morning, and I freaking put the Lombardi on his desk so when the players come in, they get to see the Lombardi.
Wow.
That's a flex, man.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's
see. Jim Harbaugh's my boy, but let's go head to head, Jim. Let's go, baby. Let's go get the player.
Let's see Saban do that. Let's see Saban put a Lombardi on the desk, right? Come on.
Let's roll.
All right, well, while you're flexing, one last thing then before you leave the NFL world behind for your UAB coaching experience. Is this the Tua you were talking about all along that we're seeing now, Trent?
Yes. Yeah, I know. I heard he had a sinker on Sunday. Obviously, I didn't see it. I was doing my thing. But listen, the kid's just special. You know, it's fun. You know, I just hired Alex Mortensen as my OC at UAB.
Mm-hmm.
Alex obviously recruited Tua, recruited Jalen, recruited Bryce, recruited Matt, trained them. Like, he's been the secret sauce of Alabama quarterbacks. And we were in the war room talking before I hit the road. And we're just like, okay, we're going to have Tua. So what makes Tua special? And I stopped and I said, hey, there's one. There's one Tua. Let's find guys that have traits like Tua. But Tua's got the stuff. He's incredibly accurate. He's all the things that now people are seeing. But bigger than that, imagine being Tua and what he's gone through and everybody turning on him on the narrative, and it only made him stronger. And that's the stuff that Tom Brady has. That's the stuff that Peyton Manning has. That's the stuff that Aaron Rodgers has. That's the stuff Jim Kelly has. That's the stuff that these Hall of Famers have. Is they got something inside of them that says, you told me I can't, wait and watch me do it.
And obviously it helps to have a coach who can unlock it too. What's McDaniel done, do you think, that other coaches prior didn't do with him?
Found he identified the magic dust, and he reminded Tua. And it takes a special person to do this, is I'm going to find the magic dust in you,
yep,
and I'm going to remind you daily that dust is who you are. That magic is who you are, and I'm going to give you a system. I'm going to give you players where you can showcase that, but nobody believes in you more than me. That's what my quarterbacks are going to hear. It's like, you're here for a reason. I could get any quarterback. There's not a portal quarterback I can't get right now. There's not a high school quarterback I can't get right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for the guy that has the stuff, and when I get that stuff, I'm going to make sure I remind him every single day, I chose you, and I believe in you. And you're going to have bad days. You're going to have stinkers. You're going to have throw interceptions. You're going to have rough roads. But that doesn't define you. Your stuff defines you. And I found that stuff. I'm going to remind you of that stuff. And you're going to be a first-round pick and win Super Bowls and go to Pro Bowls, because that stuff is what's going to carry you.
I love it. And the thing I love about Tua is he's getting more and more salty, too. You know, or showing that side that I didn't know if he had. You know, like, this is him saying after he threw a deep ball, in a game, And also in practice, after, you know, the deep ball he threw in practice once was thrown on Twitter for being too wobbly. This is what he had to say.
Hold on. I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
I love that, man. I love it. I just love this. Can you counsel him if you speak to him to be more salty? I love the salty Tua. I love it.
He's got it in him. I remember when he was 17 and I called him out on his footwork.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great story. I called him out on his footwork and I called his dad, Nala, who's a good friend of mine. I called his dad. I'm like, what are you guys doing with his feet? Like, this is some garbage now. I'm like, Tua, you ain't going to be great like you should be until you fix this stuff. And I got a video. Every day I'd get a video from Nalu and Tua there in this park in Hawaii. Bad field, potholes in the field, you see the palm trees in the back. And they're working NFL footwork, working it. So this was May when I saw him. I'm getting these videos until about right before July 4th, and we have the opening in Oregon. Which is the finals of the 11 in this big showcase. And he gets there, and his feet, it looked like Kyle Shanahan had trained them. Like, it had changed 180 degrees. And Tua goes, man, you know, as soon as you told me I couldn't, I just wanted to show you I could. I can do any footwork there is. Here it is. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The kid got a chip on his shoulder in the right way, and people keep criticizing him. He'll get a little more salty.
I love it. Hey, Trent, I'm so happy for you. You know, not to maybe throw any cold water here, but you talked earlier about what you look like. You sure UAB didn't think they were hiring Hasselbeck instead of you?
In the opening presser, they said, we thought you were Matt, but Matt lost 30 pounds and you've gained 30 pounds. So, there's a differentiator between Hasselbeck and me. He's actually fit and I'm fat.
Look at you, brother. You're great. I'm so happy for you. And when are you scheduling Dion? When is Colorado and UAB playing? When are we going to get that?
I don't do schedules, but, man, we'll play in a park. I'll call Dion and say, listen, let's go find a park in Kansas. And we'll meet there, and we'll go Blazers versus Buffaloes in the park.
I love it.
And then me and him will go hobble out there with our torn Achilles and chest bump.
You're the best, Trent. I'm so happy for you. I'll keep texting you and just saying hi, and best to your family. And I can't wait to watch this journey. Very much so.
Hey, I'll come on all the time if we don't talk about NFL. Let's talk about
football. I got you.
We'll talk some Wolverine football. Let's roll, baby.
Okay. Sounds good. Congratulations, all Trent. Right. Congrats.
Thanks, brother.
You got it. That's Trent Dilfer, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Love that guy.
I think Trent I think Trent looks great.
And so do I, because you look like him. And you look like a Hasselbeck. You're like the Billy Preston of Hasselbecks.
I have no joke been getting that I looked like Dilfer and Hasselbeck since high school.
I got it. All right, let's take a break. The one, the only, the delightful Andrea Savage. Yay. I would not miss this if I were you. Do not tune out. Tune in. It's going to be delightful. Tulsa Kings, Andrea Savage, coming up. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Andrea Savage here in studio. Just saw a clip of Tulsa King. How wild is it for you to be in scenes and working with Sylvester Stallone?
Well, you know me. I come from comedy.
Yeah.
So this has been like a real left turn. Suddenly I, You know, you have those like out of body moments where I'm sitting in Oklahoma, gazing at Sylvester Stallone with a gun in my waistband going, how did I get here? It was awesome. It was great.
Yeah. I could only imagine. I mean, when he came on, I asked him more about Rocky than Tulsa King, to be very honest with you.
Did you ask him about me?
Can you check the transcript?
Yeah, check the tapes.
Just let me go
back. Check the transcript.
It's just going to take a minute.
We've got time.
Oh, no, we did. It was odd. He referred to you as Adrian, though. It was really strange.
Oh, did he put yo in front of it?
He did.
I get what's happening
he
here.
He did. But he referred to me as Burgess, which really threw me. You know?
Sometimes you have to slap him across the face and snap him out of it.
You know what I mean? It's like it's not 1976 anymore, Sly. Like, but, you know, I had to be less aggressive.
Smack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
you should. Yeah.
But I did ask him about it like a lot because
he loves to talk about Rocky.
Why wouldn't he? Right?
Why wouldn't he? It's an amazing movie. Although I do think I may have offended him because somebody was wearing a sweatshirt that was referring to the gym from Rocky.
OK,
I've seen Rocky once. I loved it, but it was a long time ago.
Sure.
And he was like, oh, nice sweatshirt or whatever. And I was like, what's so great about that sweatshirt? And he goes, really? Seriously? And I was like, oh, is this Rocky? I kind of immediately knew. And I was like, oh, sorry. And he was like,
I would not want to be on the business end of Sylvester Stallone looking at me with the words, really?
Nope.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Like that'd throw me.
It threw me. Yeah. By the way, the clip that we showed, the scene right after that is the first time I ever met him. We'd never met until we got on set together.
The scene in which you were revolted by how old he is?
No, God, thank God. No. That was like the second date we'd ever worked. And I was like, oh, I'm about to look at him and be like, you're how old? Ew. Where I walk up to him and I basically proposition him. And be like, hey, you want to go back to your hotel room? And we had never met until that moment. And I was like, what's about to happen? There was a tornado warning in Oklahoma that morning. I was told to get in my bathtub and put a mattress over my head, which I didn't do. And now I'm looking at Sylvester Stallone and you know, having to like proposition. It was just wild.
Well, it's a great show. It really
Thank
is.
You.
It's obviously to be part of something. We're having Terrence Winter coming in shortly.
He's fantastic.
In the Taylor Sheridan oeuvre. I mean, that's what you want to be. You want to be involved in that right now.
I have to say, I'm really excited. I wanted to do something very different than the show that you also starred in called I'm Sorry.
Yes,
and our show that we started together.
It was our show.
It
I
was
appreciate
our show.
You including me in
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, the classic. Rich eyes.
Careful.
I always forget that we can't.
I know. It's all right.
Isn't there a delay or something?
We'll see. Now there will be in about 5 minutes. Okay.
Can we name it after me?
Yes, we can.
Can we get a delay and call it the Andrea Savage
delay?
Six-second delay?
Yes, that's fantastic.
The effing Rich Eisen.
That's right.
Effing Rich Eisen.
There you go.
Which I hope you still get.
By the way, I do. Andrea Savage here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yes, I do. I'm sorry. The show, was that 3 seasons it was on? Or?
Well, we were in the middle of shooting the third season when COVID hit. And then we got caught in a merger, blah, blah, blah. But it's still on HBO Max.
It's a delightful show. Even though, in the same way, Curb Your Enthusiasm is a delightful
show. It's a similar.
Okay, yes.
Similar.
Where, yeah. And me being on it. And handing out as a gift at children's birthday parties a goldfish.
Mm-hmm.
And you then referred to me with that curse word the
yes.
rest of the episode.
Everybody does.
I still,
because they all died.
I still
all the
get.
Fish.
I still get. Well, this is the funny thing, too. For those, well, I mean, it's a goldfish, Chris. I mean, they
terrible,
all die.
Terrible again, party favor for children.
And this is, one of the things I loved about your show is that it. It would be a problem for a parent, for a little kid to get as a party favor something that dies
this
and
happened
presents
to us.
And prevent that did happen.
That's
to
what
you.
It was based on. Oh yeah, no. When my daughter was, it happened in preschool.
Yes,
she was five. They all got goldfish. They all died, and now we were all stuck explaining death to 5 year olds because of this godforsaken party favor.
Would you rather them learn about death in preschool?
Yes.
Okay.
that you should not.
That answer back.
Like your son is about to be three.
He's going to be three.
He doesn't have these questions yet.
Oh, no.
No, of course not. Would you like it to be front loaded to you and Sarah earlier than you would ever want to because you took him to a birthday party?
To a birthday party?
And they're like, here's this gift that will present to you a conversation you will have to have with your children about death and something that they will be attached to.
Yeah.
You will flush down the toilet. Yes or no?
No,
okay,
because
correct.
I'll probably just like get a new goldfish so he thinks it lives forever.
Oh, well, that's good. That's a great way to get through life. What are you going to do when their dog dies and then their grandma dies? Just keep getting new ones?
Yes. Look, actors need work.
Oh, my gosh. So. What an answer. But I still get people, yes, tweeting at me curse words because they see your show all the time. And
that makes me happy that people are still swearing at you.
I don't know if I ever told you this. I think I did. Is that when you invited me to come on the program, I'm like, I'm all in. And then you send the script to me, mm-hmm. and I look through it to see how many scenes I have. Mm-hmm. I have just one, and I'm a little bit disappointed that it's mm-hmm. only one because I wanted to be in it more.
Yeah.
And then I see, however, that my name lives on in the most profane manner throughout the rest mm-hmm. of the script, and I just nodded my head. I'm like, okay, I get it. This is great.
This feels right.
It did feel right.
You were so great in
great.
It
was
and
so much fun.
I loved it. It was super fun.
And then had there been another season, I forwarded you an idea that I thought would have been great.
Yeah.
That was born out of an experience at the school that
That's
our
right.
kids went to school together.
That's right.
Did I tell you this, Chris? Tell me how great of an idea this
okay.
would be. Okay. So our kids were in a school play together and we were attending the school uh-huh. play together and we're in the audience. And the teacher who's in charge of the school play asks all the parents of the kids in the play who are integral in helping the play work and make sure behind the scenes and volunteering, please stand up so we can all give a round of applause. I thought to myself, what if I, who had nothing to do with it, stood up just to take a victory lap I did not deserve and put the other parents who did have the reason to stand up and wave in the position of having to call me out on it.
Yeah.
And I would be the goldfish guy again, and you would have to call me out, and you would be outraged sitting there that I'm standing waving.
By the way, my character would not have been outraged. My character would have loved it and been like, this
That's
is
true.
Genius. Everyone else would have been outraged. I would have been like, of course. Why wouldn't you stand up and take a, you've done other good things, right?
A victory lap.
A little victory lap.
Nothing to
I
do
like
with.
It.
I almost did it, by the way. I almost
But
stood
you
up.
Didn't.
I didn't.
I'm stealing that movie.
Because Susie
sure.
would have killed me, I think.
Susie would have murdered you. That is true.
Andrea Savage here on The Rich Eisen Show. Do you have anything in the sports world that interests you in any way, shape, or form?
I'm a baseball fan, but it is not this time of year.
Okay.
I'm lightly following
the World Cup.
The World Cup.
Okay.
Mostly because there are a lot of countries I'd like to travel. I did just hear that Spain lost.
They did.
And I lived in Spain.
Oh, my
Spain
gosh.
Spain is like a special place in my heart, so I was not happy about that.
So a little bit of you was, you felt slightly nationalistic when they lost?
Un poquito parte.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not a big deal, guys. I speak Spanish.
Wow. I don't even know what you said.
A little part.
A little
un poquito parte.
A little part.
Yeah. No, I did. I lived in Sevilla.
Really?
And I love Spain, and I was sad, but I also had a great trip to Morocco, so I was torn.
Okay.
No, I really, my loyalty.
Brief living experience.
No. Mm-hmm. I sort of look at it and go, which countries have I visited and which ones did I like and which ones are still in? And a lot of great countries
that
for traveling, too,
really?
Are still in.
Okay.
But
Very
I know
good.
Nothing really about soccer.
By the way, neither do we.
No, nothing.
Yeah.
Neither do we. Put up a picture of Ronaldo. Put up a picture.
Oh.
Does he do his eyebrows? What do you think? Yes or no? First blush.
Do them?
Yeah. Does he have,
have them done?
I feel like they're lightly shaped, but I feel like there's definitely much more aggressive options that can be out there. That doesn't shock me in some sort of,
No kidding. I thought this
No,
guy
because I feel like if he was really grooming them, there's too much going on the under part.
Oh.
There's some plucking that needs to happen there.
Really? Okay.
I mean, he's an attractive man.
Oh,
not.
Geez. I mean,
Portugal just went up 2-0.
Oh, there you go. Without him.
Oh, wow.
How about that? That's got to be pretty disappointing.
Okay. I've been to Portugal. Not a big deal.
There we go. This World Cup update brought to you by Tulsa King. It drops weekly, Sundays exclusively on Paramount Plus, right here on the Rich Eisen Show with Andrea Savage. So
Terry's coming.
He's coming.
Terrence Winter.
What do I need to know? What do you think?
He's a monster.
Oh.
Like, honestly. No, he's lovely. He's fantastic. Oh. He is great. He's honestly the heartbeat behind this show.
Okay.
And he's who I actually knew, and he's the person who thought of me for this role.
Okay.
And brought me onto the show. He and I hung out in Oklahoma. We went to the Pigeon Museum together.
The what?
The American Pigeon Museum, which is located in Oklahoma City.
Okay. So now.
All right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Being from New York.
Uh-huh. I know what you're thinking.
No, I mean, I've seen pigeons.
Never, you haven't seen pigeons like these?
Never looked at one and thought to myself, they should make a museum for these things.
Well, you know what, Thelma?
They're like flying rats. Aren't they flying rats?
That's what you think. Wow. You don't know. That's the crap pigeons. There is a beautiful other species of pigeons that are gorgeous.
There's a pigeon caste system? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. There's honing pigeons. There's racing pigeons. There's and beautiful plumage in some of these pigeons.
What the hell's happened to you?
I've become a pigeon fancier. That's okay. What they're called. They're called fanciers.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are. And Terry and I went, and they're people who love their pigeons in a deep, profound way, and they race them, and they love them. And we went, and we learned all about them, and we had a great time.
So you know when you go on Google and you look up something, and it says people also ask.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Right? So I'm on the Pigeon Museum.
The Google, one in Oklahoma City.
Google page, the one in Oklahoma City.
Yes.
It's closed right now. It opens at 1 o'clock on Friday.
By the way, it's only open for about 6 hours a week, and you have to really hit it. They make it hard to get in.
Are they serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't open until Friday.
Yep. Okay,
so
the first
option.
So they're having trouble staffing the Pigeon Museum?
Unclear.
The first
option on the People Also Ask, what is the highest price paid for a pigeon? Any guesses? You want to go around the horn here?
To buy a pigeon.
The highest price.
You could just go to Washington Square in New York City.
Ever paid for a pigeon?
$30,000.
Oh, geez.
$45,000.
The world's most expensive pigeon is a Belgian racing bird worth $1.8 million.
Whoa. There is a Hall of Fame. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. Of pigeon racers and their pigeons, it is on display at this museum.
So, is there a conversation about pigeons on steroids that should be in the Hall of Fame that are not in the Hall of Fame?
Probably. Do you think people aren't doing some weird, shady stuff when they're racing these pigeons? It is a hot ticket, and people are serious about it.
I feel like there should be like a Mike Tyson wing or something.
Did you know that pigeons, when they're flying, their heart rates are at 600 beats per minute?
And here I was going to ask you how you prepared for your role as an ATF agent, and
I went to a pigeon museum. That's how I prepared. Yeah.
So should I ask Terrence Winter about the Pigeon Museum?
You should, because we had a lovely day. He will be thrilled to talk about the Pigeon Museum. He was a little skeptical when I brought it up to him, and he agreed to go, and we had a lovely time.
Fantastic.
You're welcome. I just set you up with Terrence Winter.
You certainly did.
Now I'm in the People Also Ask wormhole here.
Has your daughter seen Step Brothers yet?
No.
At what age will she see Step Brothers?
I don't know. You know what's interesting? She is...
Because Xander started to watch it the other day, and I watched the first 40 minutes with him, and each passing minute got that much more uncomfortable for me. Like, because I forgot how profane and wrong that movie is.
You know what? I've only seen the movie once. I saw it at the premiere, and that's all.
That's it?
I know. So I actually don't remember everything. I know. And people quoted at me all the time, and I don't know what they're talking about.
Are you serious?
I swear to God. And people do my own lines at me, and I'm like, I'm sorry, what? And they're like, sorry, you're in Step Brothers, right? And I'm like, uh-huh. And they're like, that was actually a lot. Oh, anyway. And it's awkward, and I should watch it.
Well, no, I mean, that's, you do remember how profane and terribly wrong.
Well, it's not really. My whole life is slightly profane and wrong. So it all bleeds in together. You know, Rich.
Oh, my gosh. Don't touch the drum set. That's all.
Oh, right,
right. Do you remember that one?
I do remember that.
Okay, remember that one?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Don't touch it.
Oh, my
gosh. I remember the Catalina wine mixer.
What,
you know.
What do you remember about being on the set of that, though?
I remember just Will and I sitting on set during, like, you know, it was a therapy soundstage, you know, set, and we just improvised for hours.
Really?
Hours. I mean, we just went on and on and on, and then, you know, you see it, and you're like, oh, there's, like, two little quick things. Mm-hmm. But it was just so fun. It was all a bunch of friends, and it was just one of those, like, for a comedian person, like, dream set.
When will you show it to your daughter? She's 14.
You know what?
She's
the same age as my son. It's not that I have an issue showing it to her. She has no interest in seeing stuff I do.
Really?
Yeah, like that kind of thing. She doesn't like seeing me on camera. It weirds her out. She's like, I don't like seeing you being you, but not really you.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Take her to the Pigeon Museum and just cut it by half right there.
By the way, that's where we're spending Christmas.
That's amazing. Season 2 of Tulsa King is already been cleared because when you see Tulsa King, you know it. It's a hit show. Sundays exclusively on Paramount Plus is when new episodes drop, as they say. Andrea Savage, thank you for coming here.
Thank you. It's so nice to
always,
you guys.
Always to have you here. And thank you for helping us break down soccer in a very appropriate way.
You're welcome.
That's the way we roll here. Because, you know, I mean, all we talk about is stuff like eyebrows getting done.
Yep.
And for Chris and I don't understand how the hairstyles, the pomade, the whatever they put in their hair. I mean, perfect. They're running around for 90 minutes. The part is perfect in minute 90 as it was in minute.
It's a thick pomade.
I didn't know.
Yeah, it's like a wax.
World Cup pomade, everybody. Oh, and there's the man.
There he is. No,
he's live right now. Those eyebrows are not done. You're saying those are not done.
I think maybe they're lightly done, but not. I mean, let's be honest. We've seen some eyebrows done in our lives.
Okay.
Those are not
all right.
Upsetting.
That's by the way, that's an upset. That's more of an upset than
that's
I think
more Spain. Of upset than Morocco, Spain.
That's exactly right. Morocco beating Spain is less of an upset than you confirming in your mind that Ronaldo did not get his eyebrows done for the World Cup.
I think he's naturally born that way.
Paramount Plus Tulsa King. Check it out. Twitter and Instagram at Andrea Savage here on the show. Anytime, come back.
Thank you.
You bet. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment with the latest from the New York Jets front. I'm going to chime on that in a sec.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show to our radio affiliates. We apologize for the F-bomb. When you get two friends talking, these things happen.
She has a potty mouth.
Why
do we have to apologize for that?
Because
standards and
there are some, there are, yeah, no, there are, it. There are some radio audiences that, and radio stations that would appreciate it if we didn't do it. So I just want to pay respects to them. And we just also showed the video from when Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly were here together in Step Brothers and talking about how he wants Will Ferrell, as Ron Burgundy, called a hockey game and insulted half the audience. All right. Fun show, man. What a great fun show we've had right here. Robert Sala has made an announcement on his quarterbacks for the Buffalo Bills. Game 2. You remember the last time the Jets took care of business in division against the Buffalo Bills. Zach Wilson was the quarterback in that one. And then he went up to New England and faced the Patriots, and we all know what happened there, and the Mike White era was born. Unless it's not an era. Unless it's still just temporary. And that was asked of Robert Sala, and he basically said there's still an intent to play Zach this season. And that won't happen this week, though. He will be quarterback number 3 for a third straight week. The reset continues. And the reset that the team and Robert Saleh said he needed would be aided by him not even preparing to be the number 2 quarterback. Emergency number 3. So it's another hooded sweatshirt, earbud day for Zach Wilson, the number 2 overall pick in the draft. It will be Mike White going for the Jets with Joe Flacco backing him up against the Buffalo Bills. What I said yesterday, I watched it back as I do when a video that emanates from this show goes a bit viral and did sound a bit harsh what I said. I said, I don't care if Zach Wilson doesn't start another game for the Jets ever.
Yep.
Don't care.
That's what you said.
Don't take it back.
You meant it.
I'm not taking it back. I did mean it.
Okay, good.
I did mean it. And I know it sounds harsh, and I just want to reiterate, it's because it's not like I think he's useless or I'm angry with him or I have something personal against him.
Tough love.
I'm saying that if Mike White continues to play the way that he is playing, you need to see if he can be the guy. And the fact that they can still make the playoffs, even though they missed... How many teams can miss on a number two overall pick quarterback and still make the playoffs? Or a top five quarterback and still miss the playoffs? The answer, I think, is the San Francisco 49ers. Not that they've missed on Trey Lance. That is still an open question.
They haven't seen him play.
They haven't seen him play. They haven't needed him.
Yeah.
And Brock Purdy may be the latest quarterback to say that the 49ers may not need Trey Lance. And that is still something that they don't have to answer yet. And they also don't need to make a decision on Trey Lance at all because it's a moot point. He's not coming back this year. Zach Wilson, though, is a different ball of wax. The guy chosen one spot above Trey Lance because apparently the Niners didn't even bother to knock on the Jets' door. They knew that they were going to take Zach Wilson number two overall, and they knew Trevor Lawrence was going number one overall. So all they had to do is get to three, and they get the quarterback that they wanted out of Justin Fields, Mac Jones, and Trey Lance. And the quarterback there, at this point in time, they could see what they have in Purdy, or they can ride him, and they have no choice but to do that. The Jets have a different story. And you know, just like in San Francisco, the coach and the general managers, right? And the same way I said in New York. And so why does Zach Wilson have to be such a sacred cow if they can win with Mike White? That's my point. And all I will do is reiterate here. Even if Mike White does one of those 9-for-24 two interception games, like one. Even if he does that against Buffalo, I still want to see him the next week against Detroit. That's what I so to me, in the same way, to use a similar analogy, or it might be apples and oranges, that it didn't matter if TCU won or lost, they were still going to be three, as long as it was, you know,
close.
They were still going to make the playoffs, win or lose. Same thing for Michigan. Same thing with Georgia. Win or lose, I want to see Mike White again. I want to see how he handles the adversity, the bounce back. If he does get his lunch handed to him, I want to see how he handles that. I think he's earned that already in the first two starts. And that Zach Wilson, I don't know, to be number three, that's kind of curious to me. So he's really learning the hard knock life right now. You know, he's really learning that, where he's got to sit back and watch. One last item to hit before we go. Chris.
Rich.
There's a report that the San Francisco Giants have chimed in on the front of a man who was wearing the Mike Evans jersey last night in Tampa, Florida.
Correct.
New York Yankee star Aaron Judge, who's from... What?
He's from Fresno.
Fresno. Which is not anywhere that's not like San Francisco.
It's NorCal.
It's not Southern. It's Central California, but go for it. Go for it, Chris.
Our good buddy John Heyman said, the Giants are in with a big offer to Judge, believed to be $360 million neighborhood.
No, that's a...
Assumption belief among rivals that the Yankees still remain the favorites. Yankees are hopeful, but say they still don't know.
Okay, so my two thoughts on that is, first of all, the Jack Walsh line from the brilliant film Midnight Run. It's a very respectable neighborhood.
Very respectable.
So 360, guess what?
360.
Yankees go 361, like Price is Right. Okay. Like Price is Right. Okay. 361. They can do it. They can do it.
Yes.
And you're already seeing the Yankees and whatever the hell Hal Steinbrenner is thinking, whatever the hell Cashman, who got a four-year contract, is doing, you're already seeing Verlander's getting his, and, you know, DeGrom got his, and Trey Turner got his. You're going to have to fork it over for this guy. You're going to have to. You know, I already see they're trying to trade Josh Donaldson and all that, and Aaron Hicks, you think?
Here's a problem, though, Rich, because the Padres reportedly offered $342 to trade Turner, and he turned it down.
Yeah, no, because he wanted to go to the East Coast. So you're saying
because that's where he's from.
I got it.
I'm just saying there's a precedent.
Aaron Judge is now from New York. And he also lives, by the way, in Tampa. That's why he was at the game last night. And you know where the Yankee spring training complex is? Bottom line is, whatever narrative you're trying to cook up, the Yankees can absolutely overcome with dollars and cents.
Hey, I'm pulling for you.
No, you're not.
Because we're friends.
No, you're not.
Didn't their fans boo him at the end of the
season? It was a rough ending of the season, but we'll take him back.